Romans 1, find verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. We'll stop there. You know, we've been studying Romans, and Paul is revealing why men so desperately need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why it's the only way. And it's because men are without excuse and they're under the wrath of God. And the only way to escape the wrath of God is salvation in Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And it's available for all who believe in him. In this chapter, he focuses on the Gentile, the pagan, the heathen, men who rejected the clear message of general revelation, what God had visibly made, clearly reveals the invisible God. But rejecting that, general revelation propelled men down a dark chasm of ignorance and moral depravity. An inability to reason correctly. He's not able to understand. He's not able to discern truth. And so he rejects the God of creation, which was to reveal God, and instead worships the creation and the creatures and himself. From knowledge to ignorance, from light to darkness, and darkening then his whole intellectual and moral being. That's the descent. And it began with a little review here. It began with number one, revelation, inescapable, verse 19, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. I'm reading, if you're wondering, I'm reading from the New American Standard. It's a better translation based on a better manuscript. They rejected the clear evidence of God through creation, which was that which was made. He's clearly understood. God is clearly understood. No man has excuse, even from general revelation. Secondly, man's response was inconceivable. He rejected that revelation. Verse 21, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. And there's a shock in that. There's great shock and surprise. Even though they knew, they did not glorify God or give thanks. And we who have been saved, you know, we marvel how man thanks inanimate objects and thanks the creature and thanks Mother Earth and thanks himself. Well, this is how that happens. And third, his reasoning was indiscernible in the middle of verse 21 through verse 22, but they became futile in their speculations. Empty. Vain in their speculations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. They're not progressing, they are digressing. They're not advancing, they're degrading. They're not evolving, they're devolving. This is the slide of sin. This is the descent of depravity. And now what happens? They get religious. That's right, they get religious. Number four in our outline, religion interchangeable. Verse 23 of Romans chapter 1. And exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Man is religious, but he changes the truth of God for a lie. He changes the true religion for the false religion. He trades God for something else, which is not God. His religion is to take the glory of God and he gives it to something else or to someone else or himself. He exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image of corruptible man. Religion interchangeable. False religion. Man is very religious, very religious. He creates his own religion in which he replaces the true God with what is false. His devotion is changed from the creator of all to the creature. From knowledge. From the knowledge and then the revelation of the worship of the glory of God to the devotion to the degradation of man. Man is religious. All men are religious. And boy, is he religious. There are a lot of religious people and man proliferates gods. There are 1.6 billion Muslims in this world. There are 1 billion Hindus. Nearly 500 million Buddhists. The Pew Research Center says 400 million people practice, this is beyond those numbers, or beside those numbers, 400 million people practice various folk or traditional religions, including African traditional religions, Chinese folk religions, Native American religions, and Australian Aboriginal religions. An estimated 58 million people belong to other religions, including Baha'i faith, Jainism, Sikhism, Shintoism, Taoism, Wicca, and Zoroastrianism, to mention just a few, end quote. And the unaffiliated worship something, some religious or spiritual belief, such a belief in a divine being, a universal spirit. And those who claim to have no God, and those who claim to have no religion, atheists, listen, they're religious. They worship what? Self. Self is the center of their universe. They've interchanged God for self. Man is religious. He proliferates gods. Egypt, and you know that Egypt had numerous gods, not just 12. Over 2,000 gods. God judged the 12 in the plagues of Egypt. And he was judging all of them. Israel brought with them gods from Egypt as they traveled in the wilderness. Read Stephen's account in Acts 7. The god Moloch. This Ashtaroth, female deities. Greeks and Rome adopted many of the Egyptian gods as well. Hinduism has 33 million gods. Or is it 330 million? Or is it 33? Hindus can't even say. Because there is such mystery with their gods. They don't know their gods. One in here tried to explain it this way. Quote, the count went to millions in an attempt to poetically express the infinitude of the universe, to capture the all-pervading reality. He goes on, this is how 330 million gods made sense. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. Poetic? See, the sad thing is they don't even know. And they worship, they know there are the 33 basic deities, and then there are deities related to those deities, but they don't know. And it reminds you of Acts 17, doesn't it? Where the Athenians had an altar to the unknown God, just trying to cover all the bases. They start with 33 that are more or less known, and then they have related gods. On some of the principal ones, Agni, the god of fire, Vayu, wind, Sura, sun, Soma, moon. Listen, Buddhists have, they're religious. Buddhists have over 41,205 temples in Thailand alone. In South Korea, they have 900 temples. You want to know how many they have in the United States? 350. 350. Buddhists believe, they believe their Buddhas are really living gods. They believe their idols are really living gods. I read about a wooden Buddha that fell from a shelf and it hit a man and it killed him. And this was in Fuzhou, China. 15 Buddhas on a shelf fell and one killed this man. And they believe they're alive. So his family took the Buddha to court. Yeah. In the trial accusing Buddha of murder, the wooden Buddha was found guilty. And so were the other 14 that fell from the shelf. And all 15 were beheaded because of it. In Sri Lanka, in a temple called the Temple of the Tooth, a 2-inch long discolored tooth is worshipped by 400 million Buddhists as the most sacred object on the earth. And they claim that it is that it's Buddha's tooth, rescued from his funeral pyre in 543 BC. They took this booth and they made a temple around it, and they set it in a golden lotus blossom. They surrounded it with rubies and with always fresh new flowers all around it. And people come from all over the world to worship it. And it's funny, but it's sad, isn't it, though, right? They exchange the truth of God for a lie. This is not primitive man excelling. It's knowing man falling. It's man rejecting the revelation of God. He's degenerating and degrading. Well, you think that's strange? Romanism. The Roman Catholic Church still venerates bones and bone fragments and teeth of saints. That's what relics are. Bones of the saints, among a myriad of other artifacts that may have come in contact with saints. Those can be relics too. Hair from saints, splinters from the cross, breast milk from the Virgin Mary. Dirt from the saints' graves. Just bizarre and creepy things, really. Venerated and worshipped and prayed over and cried over and sold for time off in purgatory. That was All Saints Day, remember? And All Hallows Eve of Luther and the Reformation, right? Thousands of relics displayed on the church door, church of Wittenberg, and as a trade show. You know, they'd go around and bring around the relics. Very lucrative. Luther said enough. And he tacked the 95 theses on the church door of Wittenberg the night before they were displayed. There are categories of relics. First class, second class, third class relics. First class relics directly connected to Christ's life. The manger, the cross, probably the Shroud of Turin comes in here. Also, first class are physical remains of saints, bones, hair, limbs. Second class refer to items owned by saints. You know, if they have some cloth from a saint or some garment piece or particle. Third class, any object in contact with first or second class. Any object that came in contact with the first and second class. In the Cathedral of St. Lorenzo in Genoa, supposedly you have the holy basin used in the Last Supper. The index finger of John the Baptist that pointed and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." They say they have the actual index finger. The problem is they have 50 of them. That's a problem. And you see how bad it really is. How could man fall into such ridiculous, silly, false religion? See how dark man became when he rejected the light of creation. Man is not ascending. Man is descending. And when you see the proliferation of religion, when you see numerous religions, man is not getting better. He's getting worse. When you see religions, that is not something commendable. That is the low, low stage of man, isn't it? It's not man reaching the light. It's man wallowing and groveling in the darkness. And that's true of all false religion. The truth of false religion is man is descending, degenerating into darkness. The descent of man. The dark descent. And you say, well, you know, the news and those nature programs, I thought man was getting better. I thought he was going from animism to polytheism, and then he's advancing to monotheism, to the true God. No. No. Romans 1:19-23 teaches that he is descending and evolving. Meyer put it this way, quote, "Heathenism is not the primeval religion from which man might gradually have risen to the knowledge of the true God, but is, on the contrary, the result of falling away from the known original revelation of the true God in his works." End quote. Man is digressing. Religion. We're talking about false religion. We're not talking about the true religion. There is one true religion. We're talking about any religion that does not acknowledge God as the creator of all, does not believe in Jesus as the Savior, the only Savior. This is any religion that does not follow Jesus Christ as Lord. Any religion that does not submit to the revealed Word of God. And the essential truths found there. That's false religion. False religion. False religion is rebellious man taking the revealed truth and ignoring it Instead, he's replacing it with what is false. It's darkened man taking the glory of God and giving it to another. It's sinful, fallen man trading the worship of God for the worship of man and beasts and birds and bugs. It's false religion is man who had abundant light and rejecting that light and gave thanks not to God, but instead to the creatures. It's not sophistication, it's degeneration. It's not advancement, it's retrogression. It's not ascent, it's descent. And so don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by an appearance of religion. Now, we're not talking about the Gentile and the heathen. We're not only talking about the Gentile and the heathen and the native primitive tribe. We're not only talking about them. Now, Paul is first talking about them. You know, the Gentile, that primitive tribe that worships a rock and a stone and a fish and wood, carves an idol out of metals or stone. Not just pagan ancient religions that this is true of, though. All false religion, no matter how sophisticated in appearance, no matter how structured or organized, has exchanged the truth of God for lie. And he is first addressing the Gentile and those who actually make idols. But he's leading to all other religion so that he's going to indict all false religion. Verse 23, they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image. You know, that is a violation of the very first commandment in the law, isn't it? To exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image. The law of God, the very first commandment, said that we're to keep from false religion. You realize that? The very first commandment, we're to keep from false religion. What is that first commandment? You shall have no other gods before me. The first is no false gods, no false religion. Don't worship false gods. Only worship the true God. And you see how even in that, we cannot accept false religion. We can't tolerate it in that sense. We tolerate men. We're gentle, we're loving, we're kind to all, but we don't respect their error. Maybe the best way to say this, we're not approving of their error. We don't approve of their error. And we're not going to be silent about it. We don't go into other false religions and take over. We don't do that. But we do speak the truth. And we do call people to repentance. We reveal the error. We call men to repentance and faith in the only Savior. And we do this in love. And you know what? That is love. That is love. That is mercy to do so. But we don't just say everyone can go their own way. That's not loving. Because this is a chapter on the wrath of God. And if men just go their own way, the end will be the wrath of God. Second commandment. What's the second commandment? It says, don't make any carved image of any likeness of God and don't worship them. Don't bow down to them. Don't serve them. So the first and second commandment forbid false religion. It's so fundamental, isn't it? The first and second commandment forbid false religion. No other gods. False worship is absolutely forbidden. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And what did Jesus say? The greatest commandment was to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, right? And that means we give all to God and not to others. All to God. All to the true God. All you are And all you have is to go to His worship. That's what it means to glorify God. He says, to the glory of God. To glorify Him is to recognize His glory. It's to know Him rightly. It's to worship Him properly. Serve Him completely, as that command says. You don't give that worship that belongs to God, and you don't give that thanks that belongs to God to anything else or anyone else. Not man, not beast, not creeping things, not inanimate things, not any living thing. But that's what happens when man rejects general revelation. He proliferates false religion. It's inexcusable. It's inexcusable, he says, and you know, God will be wrathful because of it. Because he doesn't deserve to be defamed by relating to him as a lesser created thing. He doesn't deserve to be compared to a lesser thing or defined by that. He doesn't deserve to be defamed by relation to detestable things. When men reject even general revelation, they plunge into darkness. Verse 23, and exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image. It says here, in the form of corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. The law said, make no image of what is in heaven above, right? All the things in the sky, the stars, the moon, the sun, the clouds, the birds, the butterflies, or the bees or flies. Nothing on earth, make no image of what is on earth. Not mountains, not rocks, not trees, or bushes, or plants, or fruits, or snakes, or incense, etc. Or under the earth. That's in the seas, in the water, the fish, the alligators, etc. Right? Not any animals, not any man, etc. Above the earth, on the earth, below the earth. That's everything, everywhere. God cannot be likened to anything in his creation. That is he cannot be manufactured and fashioned like that. That is a great devaluing of him. That is a great lowering of him and his worth. It diminishes his true glory. It brands him and fashions him as something he is not. It represents him as other than he is. And creation is fallen, isn't it? Creation is under the curse, and it's fallen and it's detestable. So, you know, he isn't even saying, you know what he is not saying here? He's not saying that they interchanged God for man. That's pretty bad anyway. It's not just that he interchanged God for man, but it says they exchanged God for corruptible man. And by the way, some of your translations say mortal man. And that can be translated mortal man, but it also has the idea of corruptible man. It's more than the immortal supreme being interchanged for mortal man. The point is, it's mortal, corruptible man. See? Interchanged for God. Sinful, corruptible, and mortal. And it's an image of corruptible man. They preferred an image over the reality. Is that not shocking? Isn't that shocking what happens to man in his sin and depravity? They prefer the image over the reality, the imperfect copy, the flickering shadow, a faint resemblance, if it could even be that, man regressed. He didn't progress. We can see that certainly in the history of paganism and their idolatry. But you know what? What I want you to know is we can create an image of God in our minds. And I don't think this is limited to the graven image here. Man is an idol factory. And he conceives of God when he departs from scripture and he departs from real truth, revealed real truth, he is creating in his mind an image of God. It's idolatry. Now, Israel, with all their special revelations, not even Israel could avoid it. That's the sinful nature. That's the sinful nature that broke out in spite of their advanced revelation. And this passage, I'll tell you, this passage of verse 23 is taken almost verbatim from the Septuagint version of Psalm 106, the Septuagint Greek. And the context in Psalm 106 is when they left Egypt. When Israel left Egypt, they left with the false religion of Egypt too. And what they did was, over those 400 years, they assimilated their religion. And when they made the golden calf, right, they said, "This is your God who brought you out of Egypt. This is your God, Israel." Psalm 106:20 says, they exchanged their glory for the image of an ox that eats grass. The same words and same phraseology as the Septuagint Greek as Romans 1:23. Their glory. They exchanged their glory. That was the God of glory. They had the revelation of the God of glory. That God had revealed himself to Israel in the Shekinah glory, the revelation of his glory. It wasn't just his presence there, but it was demonstrating his presence was there. It was with them. But the glory is the sum of his attributes. The sum of the attributes of God. And here in Romans, it's not even the comprehensive knowledge of God. It's just the general revelation knowledge that he's confronting them with. Also, Jeremiah 2:11. Has a nation changed gods when they were not gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Now, this is a very valuable passage in Jeremiah 2, because it reminds us that man is never a religious vacuum. If there's an absence of truth, there will be a replacement with the false. You understand that? If there's an absence of truth, it will be replaced with the false. Jeremiah 2:11, listen to some of the context here. Has a nation changed gods when they were not gods? You see the shock. But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this, and shudder, be very desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Man will worship. He is a worshiping being. And he will serve and he will be devoted to something. When he rejects God, he replaces him with something. He'll interchange true religion for false religion every time. And they'll destroy themselves in doing it. It's suicidal. They reject the fountain of living waters for broken cisterns. Those were wells. And broken wells are no good. The water doesn't stay. these weren't totally wells. They were dug out cisterns, and they would put water in there. But when they're broken, the water seeps out. Empty wells. Men trade the truth for a lie. They trade the light for darkness, and they trade life for death. And so man traded the glory of God for man. Corruptible man. That's the first. Let's just go through this kind of quickly here. The first thing he mentions is they replace God with man. Man worships man. He worships himself. Jason sent me a text some time ago about some guy. He said, quote, "My religion started when I was born. The man I look at in the mirror is God. That's really the bottom line, isn't it?" I hope he finds out different, because it's not going to be pleasant when he finds out from God that he was not the end-all, be-all. Men worship self. Men worship men. He's talking to the Romans. The Romans did it. They devised and they thought of God as a man. Supermen, usually, supermen. But their gods were men, sinful supermen. The Greek and Roman gods were adulterers. They were incestuous. They were petty. They were angry. They were vindictive. And no wonder, for man makes images to resemble man. He makes images of God to resemble himself. By the way, the Romans have some, Romans and Greeks have some 1,500 gods. Also, the Romans, some of the Caesars demanded divine worship, right? Egyptian Pharaoh was a god. Okay, but let's bring this down to something a little more practical, a little more modern. This is also man, and modern man, putting your thoughts and your desires above God's will, isn't it? That's self-worship. That's the epitome of false religion. When man becomes the measure of things, when man only listens to himself, man is by nature a rebel against God. It's more subtle. It's more subtle than making an idol. It's more subtle than making an idol of yourself. I mean, out of stone or something, or wood. But you're making an idol of yourself. It's exchanging the God, the true God, just the same. It's making, how do we bring this down to us? It's making pleasure God. It's worshiping pleasure and riches and power and persuasion. It's making them the most important thing. It's idolizing Hollywood stars. It's idolizing singers and athletes and careers, all above God, in spite of God. It's idolizing any man. I'm gonna follow this man and what he says. And you put what he says even above Scripture. That's exchanging the truth of God for lie. This is man doing whatever it takes to advance himself. That's the worship of self. That's the worship of man. That's exchanging God for corruptible man. Then he says birds. You know, Rome worshipped birds. They worshipped the eagle. He's talking to Romans again. The soldiers of Rome had an embrazened eagle on their standard as they walked, whenever they marched. They had, and the Jews considered it an idol. So when they came, when the Romans came into Jerusalem with that idol, it bothered the Jews. You can imagine. Create a lot of problems, especially when they ever came upon the Temple Mount. They identified it as an idol. Egypt worshiped birds. You know, they worship a lot of things. They worship birds. Horus. They worshiped Horus. That's the falcon-headed man. With that red, the big red dot on the head, crown. Kingship, representing kingship over all Egypt. The phoenix was kind of a bird, I guess. It was a symbol of rebirth. Phoenix was associated with the sun. And Greece and Rome just borrowed from Egypt. Then he says four-footed beasts. Jews worship the golden calf, which they learned from Egypt, Exodus 32. And in 1 Kings 12, the two golden calves were placed at Dan and Bethel. Hindus worship cows, and hence all of that, the sacred cow. Every animal has been worshipped from one time or another. Crocodile god of Egypt, Sobek. Anubis was a half man and half jackal. And they of course, Egypt worshipped a cat, Sphinx, and some 20,000 other animals. Creeping things. This refers to snakes and bugs. People worship bugs. Now tell me, man has not degraded himself. Tell me he has not fallen into darkness. He worships bugs. Egypt, the scarab beetle. People even worship flies. Can you imagine? Flies. Beelzebul. Or Beelzebub. The Lord of the flies. Philistines worship flies. Greeks sacrifice to the god of the flies. Romans sacrifice to flies. Syrians as well. Hindus won't kill flies. They won't kill flies because they're not sure if it's a deity or not. And they're not sure if maybe a deity has reincarnated somebody, isn't working on them, and they don't want to offend the deity who's working on someone in reincarnation. If he's been reincarnated to a fly. And man has worshipped it all. He's very religious. False religion. It exchanges the truth of God for lie. And that is just what happens when men reject revelation. And that's what happens when men reject general revelation. We're not even talking about, in chapter 1, we're not even talking about special revelation, are we? We're talking about general revelation. And they're without excuse. Descended from clear knowledge, they refused to accept it. They responded shockingly by not glorifying God, not giving thanks, not giving credit to God where credit was due. And they were foolish and they became more foolish. They were darkened and they became more darkened. And it's not only past. I'm speaking the past tense, but it's not only past, is it? It's what all men do, and what all men do when they reject the light of general revelation. They don't improve by religion. Religion is near the bottom descent. It's near the bottom of the descent. I say it's near the bottom because you're going to see when we get to 24, 26, and 28 that when men get to the point of false religion, he abandons them. It's a terrible judicial abandonment. Frightening. And you understand then the reason for the wrath of God, don't you? They abandon his revelation. They abandon him. They make up their own religion. They call it God. And God does not share his glory. The world is not evolving into something better. It's devolving. And as men abandon God more and more, and as nation abandons God more and more, they become utterly foolish. We're seeing it. And they embrace all kinds of false religion, And it's essentially worship of man. It's essentially worship of himself. What is happening on the streets in the United States, in the cities, and in Chaz. What's Chaz? The City Hall Autonomous Zone, where they have taken over 6 blocks of Seattle, the city of Seattle. That is the worship of man. That is the rejection of God. Man goes intellectually dark and morally dark. And the world breaks out into more and more darkness and more chaos. And God, you know, has a right to be wrathful because man has no excuse for it. Oh, I'm so thankful the message doesn't end there. I'm so thankful because that's not the overall message here, is it? The point of him bringing up this doesn't end with this dark world and false religion, because Jesus came to save lost men. He came to bring light into the darkness, in the darkness of the world of man. John 1:5. He is the light. Men in their darkened state, they do not lay hold of it. They do not embrace Jesus Christ. Not naturally. And man can. He's so lost and he's so darkened. But the good news is, God is doing what man cannot do. He is saving those who turn from him, even the worst of sinners. And he is turning on the light of redemption for some. He saved you and he saved me. He turned on the light for us. He is saving men from sin and misery and his own wrath. And the message here is, then turn from your sin, turn from your ignorance, and believe in the good news, and the light of Christ will shine on you. It's the only way to escape the wrath of God. Let's pray. Father, oh, how thankful we are, because we are children of wrath just as the rest. It's so disheartening to see Christians who condemn a whole race of men, even Christians, those who call themselves Christians, to condemn a whole race of men, or the whole black race. But Father, you have made these men in your image. And you are the God of mercy and grace who comes into our darkened world and saves sinful men. We too were sinful. We too were blinded in sin. We too rejected you and rejected your creation. We too, this word was a dead, closed book. It made no sense because our minds were darkened. But you shed light, an effectual, irresistible light, by which you revealed to us Jesus Christ. You showed us that the gospel was true, that the good news was that we could be saved if we believed in your Son. You promised you'd save. And so, Father, we give you thanks and we give you glory. Help us to have the proper balance when we see false religion. Let us fear it. Let us be shocked at it, yes, but let us in love confront and share the gospel, knowing that you are overlooking the times of ignorance and you are granting men forgiveness of their terrible sin against you, and escape from wrath. Thank you, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and take.